Program number 167 in that continuing series. We're now at 13 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, and you're listening to KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2 on your radio dial, and also now on the FM dial, 107.7, your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota. 13 before 12, we're now at 70 degrees, lots of bright sunshine here in central Minnesota, just a beautiful day in Chasmland. And we have our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone line right now and bring in Janelle Kendall. Janelle, how are you this morning?
I am great. As you say, it is an absolutely beautiful day.
You bet. Well, thank you for joining us, Janelle. It's a real honor and a pleasure to have you as our guest here on Musicians Come and Play. And for folks that don't know you, of course, you are the Stearns County County Attorney, but you're also a great musician as well. So why don't you tell us just a little bit about your background? How did you get started, first of all, in music?
I've been playing since I was seven. I'm adopted, and one of the things that my parents were told is that I would be musical.
Uh-huh.
So they didn't get around to telling me that until I started picking out songs on the pianos at the mall when I was probably 5-6 years old. And at seven, they got me a guitar, and I've been playing ever since. I was a church organist. Started doing that actually when I was 13 and all the way until the time I graduated high school. So music has been a big part of my life for mostly as long as I can remember.
Now, were you born and raised in St. Cloud?
Blooming Prairie.
Blooming Prairie.
Down toward Owatonna, Austin, Albert Lee. Born in Austin, and they brought me home then to Blooming. Grew up on a farm outside Blooming Prairie. And, in fact, when I was a church organist, my dad would have to get up at just ungodly times, especially on Easter morning, to take me into town so that I could play, because I wasn't even driving yet, but I was already already playing in church. And then we played in the Catholic combo on Saturday night with my guitar. And then I was the church organist for two small United Methodist churches. And I would travel back and forth between the churches with the minister on Sunday.
Wow. So now, care to mention who your folks were?
Oh, Jim and Joanne Prokopek.
Okay.
And raised outside, like I say, they're outside Blooming. And then actually, we've got some relation up here. We're related to the Rishavis up here.
Okay.
There's a Stebbins around here. That was also my mother's maiden name. So.
Okay.
A German Catholic.
Uh-huh. All right. Were you raised with siblings then?
Yes, I have two younger sisters, Jill and Jennifer.
Uh-huh.
And Jill's still down toward Blooming. She's in Rochester. And then my sister's a flight attendant. She's living in Moorhead right now.
Awesome. And where did you attend high school then?
Blooming Prairie.
Blooming Prairie. And graduated from there.
And
then from there, where did you go?
Then I went to college at Hamline University in St. Paul.
Uh-huh.
It was very small. I learned about Hamline from traveling back and forth with those Methodist ministers every Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Was how I learned about the Methodist College in St. Paul. So I ended up going to Hamline as an undergrad, and I was intending to go straight through to law school and be an entertainment lawyer. But my first advisor in college at Hamline was a prosecutor for the city of Minneapolis.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said, you know, the entertainment thing is one thing, but if you are a musician, he said, you know, you might want to be the one who's actually talking to the people, not sitting in a back office writing contracts. So he took me to work with him one day, and I started working in the Minneapolis City Attorney's Office, and here I am, still doing that kind of work a long time later. That was 1987, so let's see, what does that make it?
Yeah, my goodness, yeah, really. And so then you went on, did you go to law school then too as well?
Yeah, I graduated from law school, University of Minnesota Law School.
Oh, okay.
In
1990.
And that's when I came this direction. I got a job right out of law school working at a private law firm here in St. Cloud.
Oh, okay.
And did the private practice work, and then also they had the city contracts for St. Stephen and St. Joe and Waite Park.
Okay.
And as I started then prosecuting in those areas, decided that I wanted to do that full time, and I went over to the Stearns County Attorney's Office in 1992.
Oh, okay. So you actually worked for the then county attorney, Roger Van Heel, then?
I did.
You
I
did?
Roger hired me in 92, yeah.
Okay. And then when did you get elected? When did you run for county attorney?
Well, actually, I went over, I was the Mille Lacs county attorney for a while. I started for Roger in 92, and then the Mille Lacs county attorney left in 1999.
Okay.
And I went over there and was appointed the Mille Lacs County Attorney from 99 until I ran here in Stearns in 2002.
Okay. All right. And you ran against Roger at that time, or who was the attorney general at that time, or a county attorney?
I did. Roger was the county attorney, and I ran, and then actually the chief of the criminal division, who was working in the office at the time, also threw her hat in the ring.
Okay.
So it was actually a three-way race at that time.
Anyway. Okay. All right. Well, Roger was a great guy, and I'm sure you enjoyed working with him. We had a chance to work together over the years because he was also a musician and played in the various polka bands, and so kind of went hand in hand back in those days. So, so you've been...
Go ahead. He would talk about when he got to go to China with the municipal band here in town.
Oh,
he
yeah.
had great stories about that because being the jolly, happy person that he was, he just so enjoyed being able to be that person. And I can remember him talking about to be a musician and to not be the county attorney for a while, to just go and enjoy that.
Well, and that's where I was kind of going with this, because, you know, you get caught up with your, you know, your daytime job, your regular job. And I think just from my past experience that being a musician is such a change of pace. It's so nice. So you became a county attorney in 2002, but you were also playing, semi-professionally or however you say it, during those years as well, were you not?
Yes, I was playing with BLT out of the 400 Club.
Oh, okay.
At that time. I played with them from, I want to say, 95, 96 until 99.
I didn't know that.
I mean, it got to be... it was just too much. We played a lot. It was a lot of fun. But I had, then we had little kids and we had, you know, I had my day job. So I played, I played with Bill Lummel and those guys. And that was just, that was a great experience. That taught me what that was all about. Bill took it very seriously and works very hard at what he does and always has a good time. So we, I got to learn what that was all about with BLT. And then I got out of the business for a while until my kids were grown.
Okay.
And the kids are in the band.
Okay. Well, and then we kind of got ahead of ourselves here. So in the meantime, so now you're playing and you're also becoming a county attorney. But somewhere in there, you did become a family person. When did you get married?
Oh, gosh. We got married in 1988.
Okay.
While I was in law school, after my first year of law school. We met at Hamlin singing in the a cappella choir.
Oh, my gosh.
My husband sings as well.
And who is he?
John Kendall, he teaches at St. John's.
Okay.
And we have two kids. Andrew is the high school choir director at Holdingford.
Oh, wow.
So he's also a musician. And then Alex, and he's the keyboard player in my band. Alex is 21. He's a senior at St. John's. He's my drummer. And they are both graduates of the St. John's Boys Choir.
Okay. So then musically, backing up now, okay, you got married. Were you in the... You also have this CD out that's called Life as I See It. So were you playing as another band through those years then? Because I know currently you're with a band called Walter's Wheelhouse, but fill us in the background.
Worship Teams. And that's what that CD from 1999, that's Christian music.
Okay.
Christian music is primarily what that is. There's a couple country-ish type things on there, but that's what that was, is that we had been playing on a couple different worship teams. And with what we had on the worship teams, it helped to be able to write some music that the people that we had could do really well. And so that was where that CD came out. It was partly at the end there of the BLT time with the kind of country influences on it, but also with the Christian work that I was writing for church, literally for our worship teams. We had one, we got to an Easter Sunday, and it got to be the week before Easter, you know, for church musicians, Easter's. That's a huge time.
It is.
You've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then you probably got three services or three masses on Sunday.
Sure.
And it was the week before, and we just couldn't get excited about anything that we had, so I wrote one. And that let me understand that, you know, if you've got something that you need, you actually probably can sit down and do it if you really need to.
Absolutely.
So then one thing kind of led to another, and I recorded that CD in 99.
Okay, and how did you do that? Now, was this with a group that you were performing, or did you go to Nashville and use house entertainers, or how did you do it?
Actually, a good friend of John and I is from college. His name is Steven Anderson. He now has his own Pandora station, Steven C.
Oh, okay.
Steven C. Anderson is a friend of ours from college, And he at that time had a studio right across from the governor's mansion in St. Paul. And so I traveled down there, and we recorded that in the studio in his house on Summit Avenue in St. Paul. But there again, college, we were all musicians together in college, and I had done some stuff working with him at that time. And so he actually produced that CD right down in St. Paul.
All right. Well, we're going to feature music. We always do after we let you go here. The second portion of this program is called Musical Treat for Dancing Feet. And we feature music by the artist, in this case would be you. And so that's the CD we'll be using. Now, a lot of the music on there, are they your own original compositions then? Or, I mean, just...
Yes.
They are, okay. So
yeah, I wrote all of them except Mary, Did You Know? I can't take credit for that one.
Okay. And that's sort
that's
of...
That's actually my favorite one on the CD.
Yeah.
Because I didn't write that one.
Okay, and we're going to do that one too. We do that one a lot around Christmas time. Kenny Rogers and some of the other artists that have recorded that one, they sort of did it as a Christmas song, but it still can be used any time of the year.
Absolutely.
You bet. All right. Well, that's great. So before we get to our ad right now at 12 o'clock, I just want to ask you one more question, and that is, okay, so after that, all of a sudden now you resurfaced with a group the last couple of years I've seen you around, and it's called Walter's Wheelhouse. So did you miss playing again? You got back into it, or you never did leave it? How did that all transcend?
All of that. We were actually playing regularly for the parish out there in Collegeville for the St. John the Baptist Parish Festival. And the folks who were running Fisher's at the time asked if we would play it out at the club, Fisher's and Avon.
Uh-huh.
That's how that started. And then the kids were old enough. Andrew was in college at that time. Alex was still in high school. And I thought, you know, they're old enough to handle it now. They're certainly well-trained, but I can take them into a place like that. And we played at Fisher's one night and absolutely packed the place.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that was fun. We thought, well, that was fun. We should do that. So we did. And we at that time, we were called Slippery Slope, and we added a couple people. I called Dan Witte, my lead guitar player. We hadn't played together for 12 years. Actually, as I left BLT, he came in and ended up putting that group together. And Alex is still my drummer, and Andrew is still the keyboard player and lead singer.
Uh-huh.
We've got John Krishner and Dan Witte and Macario Johnson that join us. We've been playing since 2012 doing that.
Well, very good. Well, if we can ask you to hold that thought, we'll come back and continue that. But it's time to read the ad for the St. Joe Meat Market, our sponsor. And so we'll ask you to stand by and come back with you in just a moment. Alrighty. So, Cy, with greetings to one and all from the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausage. On sale while supplies last, we now have sirloin burger, which is regularly priced at $7.49 per pound, now just $5.99 per pound while supplies last. This sirloin burger is fresh frozen, it's in 1-pound packages, and is lean, juicy, and flavorful. Remember, just $5.99 per pound while supplies last. This week's Broad of the Week is a double feature, especially for homecoming week at St. John's and St. Ben's. The smoked St. John's Johnny Brats and the St. Ben's Blazer Brats. The smoked Johnny Brats made up of lean pork and beef, the special Johnny Brats seasoning, real apples, wild rice, and maple syrup. All of these ingredients combine to make one of the most interesting and flavorful brats ever created. Meanwhile, the Blazer Brats start with a blend of lean pork and beef seasoned mildly with a mild Italian seasoning with real sun-dried tomatoes added. Both of these brats have become regulars at the St. Joe Meat Market. Take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long, unlimited quantities. This weekend, on Friday and Saturday, out in front of the St. Joe Meat Market, hosting and cooking at the Brat Sale will be the St. Joe Men's Knights of Columbus. Come out on Friday and Saturday and show your support for a great organization while enjoying a brat or burger and fries and a beverage. The Knights do so much for our community and deserve our support. And the Knights will be demoing those delicious Blazer and Johnny Brats, so you'll have an opportunity to sample for free. As always, more in-store specials at the St. Joe Meat Market, so like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or call 320-363-4913 for more information. That's the St. Joe Meat Market, and thank you for your patronage. And Janelle, for being our guest on the program, this is how it works. We started this 167 shows ago. We put up a nice meat package at the meat market, and along with Chasm, we forward that to you and hope that you and the family enjoy it in good health. How's that?
That's awesome. Thank you.
You bet. Well, good. All righty, Janelle. So, at any rate, so you're mentioning you're playing. How'd you come up with the name Walter's Wheelhouse?
Oh, Lord. We had a heck of a time coming up with a band name. At that time, you know, you got somebody who's in high school, somebody who's in college, their mom. Our bass player is actually a little older than me, and our guitar player and Macario, they're in their 30s and 40s. So we had people between 17 and mid-50s at the time, and we came up with Wheelhouse. We liked that, but then we Googled it and found out there was a band in the cities called Wheelhouse. So we thought, well, we got to come up with something else. Dan, my lead guitar player, his guitar's name is Walter.
Oh.
And he has never been jazzed about this name because he thinks it's weird that we named. But we had to come up with something.
Oh, my goodness.
A heck of a time coming up with a name that we could all agree on. And then we were going to change it because we thought it was kind of silly, and then it kind of caught on. Walter's Wheelhouse. So
yeah,
we are.
And it's really neat. Now, I guess we never really did address, what instrument do you play in the band, or what instruments can you play?
I play primary guitar in this band. Okay. I also play keyboard. I do some keyboard work, but Andrew's a much better keyboard player than I am.
Okay.
He's kind of taken that over. And the heavy-duty guitar stuff Dan does. I'm the lead vocalist.
Okay.
And then, like I say, I'm usually have my acoustic guitar on.
Okay. And that's like a rhythm guitar then, a part that you play? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you capable, or do you play bass guitar or any of the other lead guitar positions at all?
You know, I know the notes. I could do bass. In fact, we've kind of chuckled that it would be fun on a couple songs just to switch around, but I would be much more confident switching over to keyboard than I would to bass.
All right. Now, how do you describe the music that you guys play? Would it be folk music, light country, light rock, or all of that? Or how do you describe yourselves?
Oh, we call it music with a groove. We do Sheryl Crow, Santana, Linda Ronstadt, Bonnie Raitt.
Uh-huh.
But we also put in some country, some Martina McBride, and some Carrie Underwood is in there as well. And then, you know, the younger folks are picking some of the music as well. So we've got some Meghan Trainor in there.
Okay.
We've got a Jessie J in there, a Demi Lovato. So it kind of depends on the crowd. Like, we're playing out at St. John's for a baseball fundraiser next Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And I know that I'm looking for baseball alumni. So for stuff like that, we'll be doing Sweet Home Alabama and John Cougar Mellencamp and some things like that. Then the following week, we play for an Alzheimer's fundraiser in St. Joe with the Bees.
Oh.
And we'll have to kind of take a look at, it'll be after the Johnny Tommy game. So if we've got a bunch of college kids in there, we can kind of turn it that toward that type of age group too.
Sure.
Just depending what we have. And when we play at Fisher's, we're playing at Fisher's now this Saturday night from 7 to 10 after homecoming. That is just a fun crowd. People will call out songs when you're playing at Fisher's.
Oh, my goodness.
That they want you to do,
uh-huh.
Which is cool because that's where we started.
Sure.
And so we're so glad that that's reopened and they're having a lot of live music out there. It's a really fun place to play. The crowd is always engaged.
Absolutely. Now, through the years, and I've played too, and we were primarily a polka band through the years where I've played, but you get requests to do other varieties of music. Have you ever been asked to play polkas, or do you play any polkas or any of that type of music?
We have not at this point because we're not doing wedding dances, but that's what I had for my wedding dance. That's what my sister had for my wedding dance. I think that's by far the most fun. That's how I was raised.
Uh-huh.
Zeiner's Ballroom outside Bixby, Minnesota is basically the same as Playland and Kimball, you know, some of those different places that are still around. But I can't say that we have been asked to play one because if we were doing wedding dances, then you need to do that.
Sure, sure.
You know, we would have to learn some, but so far we've been doing more concert venues, like I say, and then when it's the two of us just playing as a duo, that'd be tough.
Yes.
Not impossible.
Yep,
not impossible. Well, I did learn the Blue Skirt Waltz for my dad.
You did.
Favorite song.
Oh,
yes.
Neat. That's neat. And did you go out to the ballrooms dancing in your teen years and stuff? Did you do that scene too then?
Absolutely.
You did,
yeah. I mean, that's what we did.
Uh-huh.
You know, from the time that you were five, you just fell asleep in the booth while the adults, you know, were at the wedding dances.
Absolutely.
You know, you didn't, in those days, you didn't get babysitters. We went, and oh my gosh, that was fun.
It really,
you know,
was, yeah.
Grandpa'd pick you up and swing you around in the middle of the dance floor, and and that's just what you did. So yeah, when we got married, that's what we had.
Sure.
And it still is a part of that culture. I mean, that's what fills the dance floor, guaranteed, every time.
Well, you know, and we've mentioned too, my wife and I, that's how we met, was at the Granite City Coliseum already back in 1970. But, you know, the kids don't have quite the opportunities like we had growing up. I feel sorry for them in a way because there was dances all over the place. It was monitored and somewhat chaperoned. Our folks went along too. And so, yeah, you got that first little taste of alcohol or beer or whatever, but you were always protected. So for the most part, everybody had a good time and you looked forward to the following weekend. And I don't know that all of those opportunities are there so much anymore for the youth because a lot of the dance halls have gone by the wayside.
Yeah, and we, yeah, you're right. It wasn't that big a deal because everybody was there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just the nature of the beast, I guess, trend of the times. So nothing we can do about it, but it's the way things have gone. Well, Janelle, I know life has been busy for you. I mean, your daytime job, boy, that huge news stories this past week. And so that has kept you really busy. Still good to get out and play with the group, though, just to kind of clear the cobwebs, huh?
Yeah, it really helped. We had the band played Friday night, and after these last 2 weeks, it was just, you have to concentrate on the words. I mean, you know, you play. You're concentrating on the words and the chords and interacting with the crowd, and it just kind of lets you shut everything else out for a while. But it's been it's been the most intensive 2 weeks that I've had professionally so far.
I can believe that. You bet. Well, our time is about run out. First of all, before I let you go, I always ask each one of the guests if they can think back, and this is kind of a spur-of-the-moment question for you, think back over your career, if there's a memorable time or a venue, a dance hall or something that really stands out in your mind that you performed at. I mean, I've had people tell me they played in Carnegie Hall, and they've played out in Las Vegas and done all sorts of things, and I've had people tell me about experiences with flat tires and all that type of stuff. But anything in your musical career that stands out that was you know, out of the ordinary that you might share with the listeners?
You know, two things. The first time we played at Fisher's in October of 2012, or actually it was August 2012, being able to play with my husband and my kids in a professional environment like that, I think that's probably the most fun that up until that time I had playing. Just to be able to do that with your family and with other people who are professional musicians and make it all come out right, it was really, really fun. Then I got to do the national anthem at Summertime by George the last 2 years, the big festival we have here in St. Cloud.
Oh, my gosh.
And got to sing for was 18,000 people this year, 17,000 last year. And singing the national anthem in front of a crowd of that size, and the crowd is singing so loud that you can hardly hear yourself.
Oh, my gosh.
That is awesome.
Yes.
That is an experience that just makes the hair on my arm stand up even talking
my
about
gosh.
It. And I've gotten to do that twice. So singing with my kids and with my husband, with my family, and being able to do that, yeah, off the top of my head, there have been a lot of other fun times playing music and being able to do that. I recognize that's a gift, and I think it has to be used appropriately. It's been a lot of fun. But that national anthem, that was actually while we were out working on the Wetterling case, they were out in that field. They were finding that little boy at the time that I was on that stage singing the national anthem, and I was the only one there who knew it.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's going to be something that I'll never forget.
I can believe that. Well, Janelle, our time has run out. Want to especially thank you for taking time out. And I did mention this, too, on the air a couple times this morning. You know, it's just so coincidental how this all worked out that we wound up doing this show, this interview this morning. When we planned this way back in March, we didn't know anything about it, any of this was going to happen. So.
Well, we didn't know the timing on it either. We had always hoped that the day would come that we would find him and we would find him alive.
Absolutely.
I knew that they had on Wednesday, just started to find what it was that we ultimately found there.
Sure.
And never gave up.
Yeah, you bet.
Nobody gave up.
No. Well, with that, we're going to let you run, Janelle. I'll talk to you off the air. But thank you once again so much. And I tell each and every guest, the good Lord willing, you and I are here down the road sometime. We'll do it again.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Janelle. And there she goes, Janelle Kendall, Stearns County attorney and great musician, currently playing with the group called Walter's Wheelhouse. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by Janelle Kendall off of her CD, Life As I See It.